All right.
It could have been a really much worse scenario for Joseph in those conditions. But the Lord was watching over him. He was giving him favor. But in chapters 37 and 38, when all this is going on with his brothers and his father even questioning his dream and all of that, you know, he wasn't very much in favor with them. He was being mocked, but yet God was with him. And even when he was thrown into the pit, even when he was sold into slavery, the Lord was there. The Lord, in his wisdom, knew what he had planned. He knew the outcome. He protected Joseph from death. He might have been using some evil men, you know, but he protected him. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, "And God protected Joseph from," but we see him surviving. We see him put in places where he is in favor with men and then rises to power by the wisdom and by the providence of God. And so no one would ever think that this little Hebrew person, young, sold into slavery, would be the father to Pharaoh. Father, the one who provides for, the one who is the protector of. That's what the Holy Spirit, you know, and Joseph says, "I'm the father to Pharaoh." And Pharaoh, you know, of course, is the king of Egypt, the greatest nation in the world at that time. And so God was with him. But still, as I said before, Joseph is not in this little bubble where everything is lovely and good, and the world can just see, oh, like Job was blessed with his children and his wealth, and you know, and then his friend said, and Satan come and say, "Well, you've got this hedge around Job." Well, there at this point in time, there's no hedge around Joseph, and so, you know, in our life, we find there's not hedges around us. We are so blessed in so many ways. And the Lord's providence is there, watching over us and caring for us. But we still suffer, sometimes cruelly by the hands of men. Sometimes unjustly. We are misunderstood. But God is still there. And we have to trust. And so any thoughts up to this point in the story before we go on? In 39:9, what's happening in 39? With Potiphar's wife?
He's standing up for God and
And so what was foremost in Joseph's mind during all this time, and especially when he was tempted? Here is an opportunity for him to better himself, maybe. He's a slave. Hey, you know, if I go along with this, I'll be in a better position. She may set me free. I may be given, you know, things. But he didn't think that way. The world thinks that way, folks. They will sometimes compromise integrity and faith in God for things or for safety, for embetterment. But Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph said what? "I must not sin against God." So foremost in his mind was his view and his obligation and his dedication and his faithfulness to the God. Even though he's not under the care of his dad, he is away from the family, He is away from the God of the Israelites. He's over here in an idolatrous Egyptian nation where Pharaoh is God and they have their gods, but his God is in his heart and in his mind and foremost in his being and trust. So, he said, I cannot sin against God. That brings me to, let us go and look. Sandra, would you turn to Colossians 3, 1 through 6? And Sally, you turn to Romans 6, 11. Just to get in context a little bit for us. Colossians 3, 1 through 6.
Then you were raised with Christ to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
Thank you. So, what's the Holy Spirit saying there through the Apostle Paul to the Christians there? Where do we set our minds? On things above, not on things of the earth. Joseph was looking to God. Joseph was looking to the, evidently, the blessings for faithfulness from God instead of the immediate blessings from doing things that might bring him success in the world, you know, outside the law of God. So, we have to make those choices ourselves. Do we set our minds on things above and on spiritual things when we make our decisions or when temptations come or when trials come in our work? Where do we look to for comfort? And so many, you know, of you have professed, you know, that comfort is from God to help you through so many of the things that have come about. We've all experienced things, and that's where we draw our comfort. That's where we draw our strength, and that will carry us through. Sally, Romans 6:11 says,
so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Okay, dead to sin. I cannot sin against God. It's not a part of my being anymore. It shouldn't be. I'm alive in God. I'm in Christ. I died to that kind of life. Therefore, I want to live to God. I want to be dead to sin and alive in Christ. Okay, any thoughts on that? Okay, in interpreting the dreams, to whom did Joseph give the glory? Now, he's been in there. He's given the interpretations to the two servants of Pharaoh. One was killed, of course. The other one went back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream, and finally, the steward said, you know, oh, there was a guy back in prison. He interpreted my dream, and it come to pass. And so Pharaoh brought him out of prison, and Joseph interpreted the dreams, and then he has an opportunity and took the opportunity to tell Pharaoh about his God. Not look what I did. Not look what I was able to accomplish. Nobody else in this land was able to do this. But me, Pharaoh, I was able to do it. And this, I'm going to tell you what this dream means. Did he do that? Whom did he give the glory?
Do we not interpretations belong to God?
Yes. In 40, verse 8 of Genesis, it says, that's talking about the guys in prison. And then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. And then we go over to 41, 16. And another time, you know, he says, he's talking to Pharaoh this time. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And then in verses 28 and following, Joseph speaks, you know, and tells him what the dream is. Okay? God has shown Pharaoh what's to come to pass. And so then, down in 32, as for repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter, listen to what the Holy Spirit says, determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Joseph is not only telling him that God is the source of the dream, but Pharaoh, it's going to happen. And it's coming, and it's coming soon. They're listening. He's very soon. And so then, he gave him the glory to God. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid. He didn't boast of self. He gave the glory to his God, not one of the gods of Egypt. Can you imagine telling Pharaoh, who thought himself to be God, and he had all these gods, gods of everything, heaven, earth, the fruit of the land, they all had gods for that. But he's telling Pharaoh, let me tell you, my God, this is who is going to do this. This is who's telling you what's going to happen, and he's going to bring it about. So therefore, did Pharaoh listen?
Yes.
Why do you think Pharaoh listened? This is not on the lesson, but why do you think Pharaoh listened?
First of all, none of his people could help. They had no answers.
The wisdom of the world just couldn't answer it. None of his gods. No, they you know, can you imagine the scene, sort of like with all the false prophets and everything, dancing and doing all that kind of stuff, you know, when Elijah was doing his sacrifice and their sacrifice, and they did their sacrifice. I mean, it must have been hilarious, you know, looking. But anyway, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't come up with anything. So Pharaoh believed Joseph. You think it took a lot of bravery for Joseph to tell Pharaoh about this? You know, he could have just said, he could have just copped out and said, you know what, Pharaoh, I just don't know about this, you know. He could have been afraid for his life. He could have been afraid for what Pharaoh might have thought when he's talked about his God this way. But he didn't. It's because of where God stood in his mind. He wasn't afraid. So, you know, accepting glory is different than somebody saying, you know, you really did a good job with that. And you can humbly say thank you and feel good about the job you did. That's not being boastful and prideful and taking glory for, you know, by God's grace, I have this talent. We can still give God the glory even though we are successful at things like Joseph was. Even though we didn't have an interpretation, we didn't have a vision from God, we didn't have, you know, a direct interpretation or a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, you know, to do these things. But we are, by the providence of God, given talents and gifts and things that we can do and opportunities that we have. So we need to take on the spirit of Joseph and give God the glory for that but also not be afraid to use those things which we have. Any thoughts on that?
Giving God the glory and you're allowing him to do that gift. But I've known people, and indeed of all of us, if we're not careful, we get prideful.
Exactly.
I was able to do this. I was able to do that.
Exactly.
We never see that in Joseph.
No, we never do.
Along with the other thing that we need to take away from Joseph is he was never prideful. He never bragged on himself. It was always God. God. That verse 25, God has told me that.
Right.
And so he didn't say, I'm going to tell you, he was always giving God the glory. And so sometimes if we're not careful, especially when people tell you how good you are, it's really easy to kind of start feeling like you're good. But then when you stop and think, I make a lot of mistakes and I feel just like everybody else.
Exactly. And 2 Corinthians 10 talks about boasting in the Lord and not ourselves. And so when we start feeling really proud of ourselves and puffed up about ourselves, we need to turn over to 2 Corinthians 10 and do a little reading about what Paul told the Corinthians, because they were puffed up about their spiritual gifts. And so, and in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about gifts given by God for the benefit of others. You know, not ourselves. Look how great I am. Joseph didn't say that. It was for the saving of Egypt, and God's plan was for the saving of his people there in Egypt, where he was going to make that great nation. It was for the good of others, not to puff Joseph up. Although it elevated Joseph for the cause of God, for what he had planned. But Joseph didn't puff himself up this past sin, and as we were talking about. Any other thoughts?
I think it's interesting in verse 37, and the thing was, Joseph's plan was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ready to accept what Joseph had to offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And probably because maybe of the way what he was saying was true, of course, but the way he was saying it and the way he was presenting it, you know, and because I'm sure Pharaoh, just like a lot of powerful men today, are so used to people trying to show them just how good they are too, you know. And so to be their right hand man and to do, you know, put them in power and these kinds of things. I've seen it in the business world myself. And I'm sure that kids run into it in school when they're, you know, because of the popularity and the in crowd and that kind of thing, you know. So it's very much a reality of the world we live in today. And so let's remember Joseph, like you said, for his lack of pride in this and his lack of presenting himself as the one with the knowledge and the power and this is what I can do for you, Pharaoh, kind of attitude. So in Proverbs 6:16-17, it says, haughty eyes are an abomination to the Lord. Haughty eyes and a proud heart are the lamp of the wicked. In other words, pride or exalting self is what drives wicked people. That's what they're looking for. That's what guides their every action. It's out for self. And the Holy Spirit deals with that in Proverbs. And then in Proverbs 21:4, it says that haughty eyes is sin. And so in Psalm 119:105, we all know that. God's word is a lamp to my feet, the light to my path. That's what was guiding Joseph. God's word. Okay. Now, Sally just read. Pharaoh listened to this. So, do what? To what did Pharaoh attribute Joseph's wisdom? What came out of it?
Verse 38, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So Pharaoh recognized that in Joseph.
Right. That God was informing Joseph. It was not from Joseph. So, was Pharaoh's conclusion correct? Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It was correct. So, any thoughts there before we go on? You know, I decided to add a little few verses in here between this and the next one on your page because it has to do. Let's turn over to 45. Let's turn over to chapter 45 because I think it was another lesson that I had actually missed and I wanted to bring to our attention. I mean, I knew that it happened. It has been brought in sermons and it's been talked about, but I didn't put it in the lesson. In chapters 45 through 50, it's how Joseph deals with his brothers. You know, his brothers come to buy grain and all of that. But when Joseph met with his brothers, if you read those chapters, number one, when he speaks to them, he does it in private. Number two, he doesn't dwell on the past at all until he tells them about God's plan. He doesn't dwell on the betrayals. He doesn't dwell on the hurt. He doesn't dwell on what they did to him and all the horrible things that's happened to him since they sold him to the Ishmaelites until he's standing there. He doesn't dwell on that. But he dwells on the blessing that was brought about because of God's plan. Now, let's go to 45, 9 through 15. And he's talking about them living in the land of Goshen. You'll be near me, your children, and your children's children, and I will provide for you, he said, in 11. For there still are 5 years of famine. And he says, behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. And then he falls on his brother's neck, he kisses his brothers, and he then wept on them, and they talked together, and then they leave to go get their dad. Okay, that's the scene with Joseph and his brothers. Now, in 50:15, let's go over there. Lauren, you want to read 15 through 21, please?
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him.
To 21.
Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
So, what kind of attitude, what kind of disposition do we see Joseph have here? Is it one of retaliation?
No.
Is it one of doing good for? Is it one of forgiveness?
Philosophy, love.
Yes, yes. Caring for? Can anyone think of a passage in the New Testament that Jesus talks about that kind of stuff? Without having a preacher in me? Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 38. Nadine, would you like to read? Matthew 5, verse 38.
I have heard that you said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but for the Lord, slap you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him you ask of him, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you.
Okay, let's go with Pat. Would you read 43 through 48?
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
So, the way Joseph treats his brothers. Is that the way Jesus wants us to treat sometimes people who mistreat us? Who are our enemies? Do good for them. Did his brothers sin against him? Yes. Did they need to repent?
Yes.
Yes. Did they ask Joseph to forgive him? Yes. And he did. And he did good for them because that's what God wanted him to do. That's hard sometimes. We don't want to ever get over something that somebody said or did or caused to happen, that kind of thing. We need to remember the words of Jesus as followers of his, disciples in the kingdom, and remember Joseph. Yes.
You just continue reading in the sermon,
yes.
Chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. If we don't forgive others, God's not forgiven us. And that is a scary thing. No matter what somebody has done to us, it does not equal what I've done to God. And we need to be forgiving. And that's, to me, that's a sobering thought. When you're angry with somebody and they seem, for all purposes, to truly repent, and then for God to just expect you to take them back in love them. But that's what he does for us, and that's what he expects us to do.
Exactly. And I don't know if Joseph fully understood from the beginning that this was God's plan all along, or if God revealed it later as things progress. I don't know. But his attitude towards all those things, and when he is facing his brothers, you did evil to me. That's what you wanted to do. But God meant it for good. God allowed evil men to do evil things so that good might come from the situation, because God was working his plan. I don't understand that. My mind can't grab a hold of it, but then I'm not God. My job is not the question. And so, sometimes, when we suffer, you know what? Sometimes it gives us perseverance. We've got a book in the New Testament that talks about that. And endurance. We endure. If we have the faith to go on through it and persevere, we come out better character. Maybe God is working Joseph's character. Maybe, but God is working his plan. Now, for me to say, God's working some plan for me, like a lot of people, you know, attribute everything to God. I can't do that either. Because Satan is out there, evil people are out there, and we suffer. Christians died and suffered at the hand of evil people. But God was with them, and they have glory to look at. Hope in heaven. So, you know, to say that God made all these people suffer, or that God made Joseph to suffer, I think is a misrepresentation of God. Any thoughts on that? I can be wrong.
I think it's part of human nature for us to learn through our suffering. A friend of mine told me, she was like, I wish I could just learn a lesson the easy way. I wish I could increase my faith by living through peace always and never having to hurt or suffer. That's the nature of earth. And God shows us time and time again that our character increases, our faith increases by going through trials and tribulations, that he encourages us through the trials and tribulations countless times. Loving your enemy is not easy. Being kind to those who are hateful towards you is not easy. It's easy to get mad at God because he took someone you love from this earth and you have, you know, illness. That's the easy way. That doesn't mold you. That doesn't shape your character. Being for God and in Christ and requires vulnerability, and it requires an openness and a humility and you have to lay it down. That's why we have to lay our lives down for him. We have to surrender to him, not our will but thine. And it goes on and on. It's not the easy thing, but I don't think God really asks of us for any things that are easy. Because he makes our life easy by us being vulnerable to him, putting down our own humanness and accepting who he is for ourselves.
And Peter, in closing, deals with suffering that we can look at also. Keep the faith, keep the faith. You know, this is it. When you're suffering, remember this. Christ died. We have hope. And we have blessings in Christ. So, you know, that's what we are to focus on, even in suffering, especially when we're suffering for the cause of Christ. Joseph is telling Pharaoh, this is what this my God, the God of the universe, said. This is what he's going to do. And it was good for Pharaoh to listen. And it was good for Jacob, who God, at the end of this story, talks about promising Jacob again to take him to Egypt, to make a nation, to bring him out, to take him to the land that he, and Jacob talks about this as an oath to Abraham that he made. So it's brought back into remembrance. This is what's going on. Heaven is our home. Christ died for us. God made promises. He fulfills his promises. We can depend on. Even though we may suffer for that belief. And suffering for living for Jesus in a cruel and wicked world. We're going to stop. I was hoping we'd get through, but really good comments and everything. And any other thoughts before we close? We will begin with number 8 there, even when we're struggling with trials. And well, you know, some of the benefits, other than what we've talked about here, let's like a Pharaoh. What were the benefits of Pharaoh? So what's the benefits of people, other people, seeing us when we have faith and we're suffering? Lord willing, we'll pick that up next Wednesday. Anyone have any announcements? We just heard, we were talking to Susan, that Clark did call last night. They were moving Tony to Baytown, but we don't know if it's a hospital down there or if it's a nursing home down there. Clark didn't get back. Anybody have any knowledge of that?
Bay Shore?
Don't know. But if they were in an ambulance going to Baytown. Okay. Maybe we can find out this afternoon. Maybe Clark can contact someone this afternoon and we can get a hold of Clark.
Any of anyone knows Mike Stubbs, he's been a preacher for many, many years.
Yeah.
He tends to preach at very small, struggling churches. He was the father of a very good friend of mine that I've known for the greater part of 15 years, and he passed away from COVID a couple of years ago.
Was he still preaching in the Valley, McAllen?
Yeah. He used to preach at Pastoral years ago, like when I was in high school. His kids are not only one of his 4 children are faithful, so I hope that his perseverance in all of this will maybe turn the heart of his children, his 4 kids, Beth, Kara, Matt, and Amy. And Amy's the one that's suffering.
Anyone else? Elizabeth said David's doing well. We're thankful for that. Good. We are so thankful for someone so young, you know, and so active and productive and everything, to all of a sudden have that much blockage and to have a stent. And so we're thankful that he come through that. And
I would appreciate prayers from my grandfather right now, especially. They are waiting a test result to find out if he has stage 3 or stage 4. If he has stage 3, there's something that can be done for him. If he has stage 4, not really. And he's basically said if he has stage 4, he's just going to write it out. And they've given him, if that's the case and they don't do anything, they said they give him until about January or February next year.
That's very hard on the family, but faith and courage and conviction can get you through.
My aunt has been unfaithful for years. She went forward and placed membership in Conroe.
Sometimes we just don't see the good, you know, and we may not even see it in our lifetime, what it does to hearts of people when they see other people's faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, you know, more in class. But we see it a lot. Anything?